Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name's Cheryl Langdonor. I'm one of the two co-chairs of the third Accountability and Transparency Review Team, known as ATRT3. And today we've got a webinar, which is the second of our series of webinars presented in the last 24 hours on our draft report for public consultation from our recent work. And we have with us today a slightly light on audience, but a few people, hopefully more, will join. However, we did have an excellent turn up earlier, and so we've certainly done some outreach, even if it's a light sprinkling today. On our call today, it is a webinar, so we won't be taking any sort of roll call, but I do want to recognise that not only do we have a number of our review team members here, but you'll also hear from a few of them today as we go through our various slides. You'll hear from a couple of the topic leaders, as well as from myself, Cheryl Langdon Orr, co-chair Pat Kane. You'll also be hearing from Daniel, from Sebastian, and from Vanda, all of whom will be taking sections of today's presentation. With that, we'll get going through our presentation, and we will take some questions at the end. What we would like you to do, however, so you don't lose your train of thought, is if you have a question as we go through today's slides, please just pop it into the chat with the usual bracketing and title of question, so that we will capture those as we go through, and we'll deal with those as we open for question and answer towards the end. And of course, we will then, of course, open all the microphones as well to take your Q&A in a more dynamic form. So with that administration and a general introduction over, if you can forward the slide, please, Brenda. Thank you very much. On today's presentation, I want to give you a quick overview of what we're going to be looking at. We'll be looking at our background on the Accountability and Transparency Review Team number 3, ATRT3 draft report. We'll be looking at the key findings, our key recommendations and suggestions, our key questions, which we are seeking input from you all in our current public comment. And we'll be looking at, of course, a Q&A. Next section. Thanks, Brenda. And again, thank you so much. Just by way of background, and we will be going through this very briefly, because we are aware that many of you, although perhaps not all of you, have had the chance of hearing some of this material before at some of our face-to-face interactions. And of course, we like to recognise that we've had a few stalwart audience for all, if not most, of our weekly Accountability and Transparency Review Team calls. This third Accountability and Transparency Review is being carried out in accordance with the ICAN bylaw section, as outlined there, 4.6b. The ATRT3 held its first meeting on the 3rd to 5th of April in 2019, and we must hand in our final report within 12 months of that date. This is a bylaw mandated 12-month limitation on our work, and we'll note for the record that we are the only team that is so limited by the bylaws. That means that by the 5th of April 2020 this year, we're going to be holding, handing in, I should say, our final report. ATRT3 has opted in our work to make both recommendations and some suggestions. In some cases, these are strong suggestions. In our final report, this is due to the new requirements for recommendations that we'll go through in a little bit more detail shortly. The determination if an item is a suggestion or a recommendation will be finalised in our ATRT3 final report, noting this public comment is on our interim one. Next slide, please, Brenda. Thank you. The new operating standards for specific reviews adopted in June 2019 were retroactively applied to the ATRT3 work. These new operating standards for specific reviews are to date untested, and the ATRT3 is the first review which will be making these recommendations or making its recommendations under these new standards. We recognise that as a beta tester or as the first review team working under such principles and standards, that we are also going to be giving very valuable feedback on how workable or otherwise they are, but we have undertaken to apply these operating standards quite rigidly to whether we make something a recommendation, so titled, or not. The ATRT3 concluded that not all of our recommendations or things would be traditionally termed as recommendations as seen in other previous review teams could or indeed should meet these requirements in the new standards. As such, ATRT3 recommendations which do not meet all the requirements will be labelled suggestions. However, the ATRT3 has been assured that all its recommendations and its suggestions will be considered similarly by the ICANN board. And that's a very important point for us all to recognise. Thank you, Brenda. Next slide, please. Thank you. The ATRT3 scope. ATRT3 assessed the following scope items. We assessed assessing and improving of board governance, assessing the role and effectiveness of the Government Advisory Committee, known as the GAC, assessing and improving the process by which ICANN receives public input, the assessing the extent to which ICANN's decisions are supported and accepted by the internet community, and assessing the policy development process to facilitate enhanced cross-community deliberations and effective and timely policy development. Next slide, please. We went on to assess the assessing and improving of the independent review process, the extent to which prior accountability and transparency review recommendations from previous teams have been implemented, specific and organisational reviews, a review of ICANN's accountability indicators, and work on prioritisation and rationalisation of activities, policies and recommendations. Next slide, please, Brenda. Our ATRT3 considerations. It's important to understand the specific nature of the GAC, and with this I'm going to be handing over to one of the leads on the work of the Government Advancement Committee, Vanda Scardazzini. Over to you, Vanda.
Okay, I'm Vanda Scardazzini. Thank you all for attending this webinar. I'm from Latin American Caribbean region, and you call your attention for some points for the GAC views. When you read, and I hope you comment, our report, it's important to understand how different GAC is and the specific nature of it, assessing not only the RTRT2, but also related to all the surveys and the comments we receive, and because GAC is usually composed of official governments, and because of that, they are bound to expectation of their own governments, and normally cannot commit to anything prior to a formal authorization of their own governments. So the recommendations ICANN community can make for the GAC via such process as the RTRT review may have limited applicability or normally have to be adapted to fit into this GAC context. So so we expect that you have those points in mind when reading our report. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Vanda. Cheryl for the record again. And if we can have the next slide, please, Brenda. Thanks very much. Our AGRT3 methodology. We reviewed the implementation and effectiveness of the 46 distinct ATRT2 recommendations. We conducted a major survey of individuals and structures, that is the support organisations, advisory committees, as well as the GNSO constituent bodies and the regional large organisations of the at-large community. And we did this on a wide range of relevant topics. The results of the survey can be found in Annex B of our draft report. We held interviews and meetings with the community at ICANN 65 and at ICANN 66. We received briefings from various groups, such as ICANN.org's public comment team, the Nominating Committee Review Implementation Working Group, and indeed the leadership of specific review teams that are currently running and recently passed. We reviewed the ICANN accountability indicators in detail, reviewed a large number of ICANN documents, requested and received a number of clarifications from ICANN.org. Next slide, please, Brenda. And with this, I'm going to hand over to my fellow co-chair, Pat Kane. Over to you, Pat.
Hello, everyone. Thank you, Cheryl. This is Pat Kane. We're going to go through the key findings section. In this area, we'll take a look at what the review team discovered on ATRT2 recommendations, as well as go through some of our survey results. So as Cheryl mentioned, there were 46 distinct ATRT2 recommendations, and we received a report from ICANN staff indicating that they were all 100% complete. Upon our own review, we found that, or what we believe in terms of that assessment, is that 60% of them were actually completed, 23% were partially implemented, and that would be that they were either somewhat done or they were implemented in a different manner than was prescribed in the ATRT2 recommendation, and that 17% were actually not implemented. And this led to a lot of the recommendations we're having in the prioritization area, so we'll come back to that. But what we do believe is that with the new operating standards for the specific reviews, that this divergence in assessment is probably not going to be a problem going forward. Next slide, please. So here in the survey results, what I'm going to go through are those items that were, we received strong recommendations or strong from the community, both individuals and structures. And so we sent out to two separate groups, structures being the ACs and the SOs, as well as having individuals respond. So I'm just gonna read through these and have some commentary as we go through. Do you believe the information ICANN makes available on the ICANN.org website should be better organized to facilitate searching for specific topics? Clearly, there is some frustration with that particular topic in terms of being able to identify and retrieve information from the ICANN website. Should the ATRT3 make recommendations about prioritization and rationalization of ICANN activities? Absolutely, from both individuals and structures. Should such recommendations include a process to retire recommendations as it becomes apparent that the community will never get to them or they've been overtaken by other events? This goes back, I think, to the assessment on the ATRT2 recommendations, whether they were done or not, in terms of if we can have a process to deliberately address recommendations we'll never get to, then we'll be able to retire them and not necessarily have to say they've been completed or completed another process. So I think this was very helpful in our prioritization commentary. Should the community or representatives of the community be involved as a decision participant in any mechanism which makes recommendations for prioritizing and rationalizing work for ICANN? Absolutely. This is probably one of the strongest comments we got. And that really comes to, these are community recommendations. The community should absolutely be involved in helping to recommend what the priorities are or recommend what should be retired. Next slide, please. How would you rate the effectiveness of the specific reviews as they are currently structured in the ICANN bylaws? So there's dissatisfaction, especially amongst the structures around the specific reviews and how effective they are. And some of the commentary that we've received over time is that they're costly, they are lengthy, the volunteers, you know, we have a few volunteers that do a lot of the work, as well as going back to the ATRT2 recommendations again, that we're not getting a full complete view of what we're actually accomplishing in terms of those recommendations over time. Should specific reviews be reconsidered or amended? Yes, and you're going to see, we've got some recommendations coming up on review teams. Should organizational reviews be reconsidered or amended? Strong from both individuals and structures. And then please rate how effective the current system of public comment consultations is for gathering community input. Only 50% of the individuals were positive about the public comments, and 88% of the respondents were in favor of re-examining the concept of public comments, and you'll hear some commentary later on that from the team. Next slide, please. So this was interesting. So I don't know if everybody on the phone or on the call today has actually seen the accountability indicators, but what we received was that 50% of the structures are unaware of the existence of the accountability indicators. And of those that were, 2/3 of them found the indicators ineffective, and that being that they weren't really measuring what they were intended to measure. So we've got some comments on that as well. Next slide, please. All right, so we're going to start off with the key recommendations here. I'll do a few of them, and then we're going to move to Daniel and Sebastian to talk about the reviews. So the board should ensure that the first competition, consumer trust and consumer choice, second RDS, the cross-community working group, Workstream 2 review teams provide implementation shepherds as defined in the operating standards for specific reviews so that they can actually steward the recommendations through so that there's consistency in what the review teams or the working groups intended by their recommendations. One of the things we found when we reviewed ATRT2 recommendations was there was some confusion on the team as to what was actually intended to be accomplished by the recommendation. We were able to go back and have conversations with members of ATRT2, but it was clear that as time went on, there was some disconnect between what was written several years ago and what was being discussed today. So having a steward, having a shepherd is really important in terms of the recommendations that we have. Next slide, please. If the implementation of specific review recommendations is transferred to another process. So if we were to suggest something in a review team and end up in a working group, the board should ensure that any implementation reporting should clearly note this and ensure factual reporting on the progress of that implementation within the new group that's addressing that particular recommendation. Next slide, please. So issues with respect to prioritization. There is very strong support within the review team within the survey, to have the review team make recommendations on prioritization. Now, one of the things that we recognize as a review team is that there are several conversations going on right now about prioritization. The board itself has been going through a prioritization process. The evolution of the multi-stakeholder model process that's been going on is talking about prioritization as well. So the review team suggests that we create a community-led entity tasked with the development and operation of a prioritization process outside of what we're doing today. Next slide, please. So creating that prioritization process, overall, we believe that the operating standards for specific reviews could serve as a great base for developing this community-led process. The community members participating in this process should have significant experience in in ICANN and have actively participated in a major process, whether that be a community working group, cross-community working group, examples of what Workstream 1, Workstream 2, as well as a expedited policy development process, not necessarily the one that's going on right now, but as an example of a significant event that's going on across the community. Members should include and must include representatives from the board and the ICANN organization. The community should lead this prioritization process, and it should have a fixed one-year term to complete the task. I think we've found, while there's a challenge in the review team, ATRT3, with having the one-year window, it's certainly driving us to make decisions, and we recommend that occur for this particular process. And the community-led entity should have access to services of a professional facilitator should the work group request or need one. Next slide, please. So again, in terms of the prioritization process itself, we believe that the operating standards that were adopted in June could serve as a fantastic base, fantastic foundation for this process. We think this review should be conducted annually, and have the community driving it with participation of the board and the ICANN organization. And even though it's annually, there should be a process in place for handling exceptional circumstances. A new recommendation comes up that has meaning or impact to the community above and beyond some of the things we're working on now. If we have budget issues, there should be a process to convene this group on an as-needed basis should exceptional circumstances arise. And it also must be conducted in an open and transparent fashion so that each decision is justified and documented. Next slide, please. So the prioritization process should apply to all recommendations from CWGs, CCWGs, both organizational and specific reviews, as well as other community-driven recommendations. And so the prioritization process would be across all of that, all of those recommendations, and ranking them as across the community. The prioritization process should only consider information that's provided. The process itself should not have to go out and gather additional information or do financial evaluations, et cetera. The prioritization process should address and probably will address multi-year projects, but each of these projects we recommend be evaluated on the annual basis to either continue to fund, retire, or pause. Next slide, please. And then the review team took a look at these issues should be considered with respect to prioritization: budget availability, cost of the implementation, complexity and time to implement, any prerequisites or dependencies that may be in other recommendations, the value and impact of implementation, and of course, relevance to ICANN's mission, commitments, core values, and strategic objectives. So fundamentally, these priorities should be based upon how do we get the biggest bang for the dollars that we have available, as well as the most meaningful items that we can impact the operation and value that organization, ICANN community, can deliver to the constituencies and to the end users of the internet. So that's the section on prioritization. The next slide, please. So we're now going to talk about specific and organizational reviews, and I'd like to turn it over to Daniel to introduce the topic. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Pat. It's Daniel for the record. With reference to the specific and organizational reviews, is that the ATRT3 team could not come up with a consensus on a single proposal to address the issues related to organizational and specific reviews. As we did manage to narrow down the options down to two distinct possibilities for this draft report. So we are seeking at least input from the community through the public comment to assist us, the team, the ATRT3 team, in coming up with a conclusion on how this topic can be addressed in our respective final report. Next slide, please. So, next slide. Well, first option is that there are two options in this case. The first option is that we need to keep the current set of specific and organizational reviews as they are given more important accountability mechanisms for the community in combination with the new oversight mechanism to manage the review and the implementation of other respective recommendations that have come in. So the new oversight mechanism should be responsible for the new independent accountability office. In this case, this office may be similar to the office of the ombudsman, but with respect to the oversight. This includes responsibility of the SOs and EC's accountability, as well as the coordination of the reviews and the implementation of their respective recommendations. Next slide, please. Furthermore, the impact of this option is that, one, the initial impact on the scheduling would be limited. Sebastian will be presenting about on the reviews timeline, and also there will be no change in the current format of the duration of reviews, which is the one-year organizational reviews and the specific reviews with potential extension for the specific reviews. Then also we're looking at the impact, the point will come into the creation of a new oversight body, which is potentially an independent body which would mainly ensure proper implementation of the review and recommendations coordination of reviews. For instance, in every 7 years versus the current five years that the review processes take place. Next slide, please. With this, I'm going to hand over to Sebastian, who's going to take us through the second option. Sebastian, you have the floor.
Thank you, Daniel. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. Then, yes, I will go to option two, and we will have the organizational review first, and then the specific reviews, and we will have a comparing schedule and duration of both options. In option two, about organizational review, we suggest to maintain the current concept of individual organizational review for each SO and AC, but we suggest to conduct them in a 3 to 5 day workshop focused on SO-AC self-implementation in a context of continuous improvement. This review would be conducted every 3 years or more frequently as determined by each SO and AC. The report of this review will then feed into a new holistic review. That's a very important point. This new holistic review would focus on the improvement made by all and each SO and AC as presented in their organizational review report, as well as on the interaction between SO and AC. This new holistic review would be conducted every 7 years for a maximum duration of 12 to 18 months to allow for the implementation and maturing of the recommendation made by the individual organizational review and those of the previous holistic reviews. In next slide, please. For the specific reviews, that include the accountability and transparency review, the Security, Stability and Resiliency Review, SSR, the Competition, Consumer Trust and Consumer Choice Review, CCP, and the Registration Directory Services, RDS Review, was formerly WIS Review. I guess we need to go to the next slide, please. Okay, thank you. I have already started to make this presentation on this slide. Accountability and reviews, as well as the relevant portion of the competition, consumer trust and consumer choice, and the registration directory services, would be combined into a single accountability and transparency review, which will be conducted every 7 years for a maximum duration of 12 to 18 months to allow for the implementation and maturing of the previous recommendation by this review. Security and Stability and Resiliency Review could either be a 3 to 5 day workshop or a more traditional review period, depending on topic. Next slide, please. Here you can see, and sorry, it's a little bit little, but a comparison between the option one at the top of the page and option two at the second part of the page, and each half of the page are split into specific reviews and organizational reviews. As you can see, if you take the next years, in the first proposal, option one, the color change at the bottom of this half page quite dramatically. That means that there are years where there will be a lot of things going on at the same time, and we may wish to enhance this if we go with option one. If we go with option two, one of the criteria to build this option two was to have a stagger review, and it's why you have only green except for 1 year. And in fact, 1 year will be explained. Next slide, please. As you know, we are in discussion with NICAN to a possible next round of VGTLD. And if it happens, we have taken as an assumption that it will arrive in 2022. And the next and last review of competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice will be held in 2025. And after that, it will be those specific review will be retired. But specific element or relevant element from VCCT review and RDS, Registration Directory Services, will be integrated into ATRT 4. Security, stability, and resiliency review will be a 3 to 5 day workshop held periodically as called for by the technical community. About the organizational reviews, each SO and SE would have at least 2 reviews in each of the 7-year cycle, sorry. And each 3 to 5 day workshop should focus on priority items and can be scheduled per SO and SE preferences at least every 3 years. And with that, I will give over the mic to Cheryl, please. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Sebastian. I'm going to take you through a few extra slides now, the first one of which is looking at the issues with respect to public comments. The Accountability and Transparency Review Team number 3 recognises that individuals, especially those whose mother tongue is not English or who lack detailed technical knowledge, may find it challenging to provide meaningful input on long and often complex documents that are published for public comment only in English. Key elements to comment on may be difficult to identify without reading the entire document. Next slide, please, Brenda. Thank you. Further issues with respect to public comments. We note we strongly suggest that public comments not only seek general input on entire documents, but that they also do the following. They clearly identify who the intended audience is, the general ICANN community, the technical community, legal experts, etc. This will allow potential respondents to quickly understand if they wish to invest the time to produce comments. This is not meant to prevent anyone from commenting, but rather is meant as a clarification on who is best suited to comment. Each public comment proceeding should also provide a clear list of precise key questions in plain language that the public consultation is seeking answers from, from its intended and identified audience. Next slide, please, Brenda. The results of these questions should be included in the staff report on the public comment proceeding, and where appropriate and feasible, translations of a summary and precise key questions should be included in the public comment proceedings, which would also allow for responses in the official ICANN languages. Thank you. Next slide, Brenda. We also looked into accountability indicators, and here ATRT3 suggests that ICANN undertake a communications effort to make the community aware of the accountability indicators that it has. Part of this effort could include a formal presentation of these at ICANN meetings. ATRT3 further strongly suggests that ICANN rapidly undertake a serious review of its accountability indicators to ensure that these do the following: meet the stated objective in each section and subsection, provide data that is useful as an accountability indicator, provide data that can inform decision-making processes, and present data that is up to date. Next slide, thanks, Brenda. With this, we're going on to our key questions. The key questions per suggestions for public comments here, and you'll find all of this in section 5 of our report. ATRT3 is including a list of topics and questions it believes are critical for comment from respondents in this current public comment period. These are around recommendations with respect to specific and organisational reviews, and our suggestions with respect to prioritisation. Public comment, this current public comment, on the third Accountability and Transparency Review Team's draft report, the ATRT3 draft report, will close on the 31st of January 2020, at the end of this month. Comments made after this date may not be considered due to ATRT3's tight timeline. Ladies and gentlemen, there will be no extensions. We meet in the early first weeks of February to consider the comments that are gathered to this draft report public comment period. And we are by law bound to complete our reporting by early April. And so whilst comments may be received after our closing date, no extensions will be given and there is no commitment to comments received later being taken into consideration. Next slide, thanks. I'm going to take you through the report layout very briefly. Sections 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 and 12 of the report are all structured similarly. You will find in each of these sections, introduction, the information gathering information, usually around ATRT2 work, ATRT3 survey, and other information. You will find the analysis of information and identification of issues. You will find suggestions relative to issues and any recommendations we make to address issues. Next slide, please. Further, in other parts of our report, you will find at the beginning, section 1, a summary with key points and questions for public comment. This is pages listed here, pages 5 to 16 of the report. Special section for the public comment. This is a condensed version which highlights all the key points from the report. And this section has already been translated into all of the ICANN languages. The next section you will find is our executive summary, which we admit is similar in some respects to section 1, but includes a listing of all recommendations and suggestions. We will then go on to look at the sections looking at the various issues. You'll find issue 1 around the board and board-related issues. Issue 2 around the Government Advisory Committee. And here you'll find things that deal with Government Advisory Committee related issues. Issue 3, which is all to do with public input, dealing with ICANN's translation services and the public comment processes. Next slide, thanks, Brenda. Issue 4, the acceptance of ICANN decisions. And here the ATRT3 survey concluded that there was in fact general acceptance of ICANN decisions. Issue 5, the policy development process. And this deals with all the PDP related issues. We have issue 6, which is the assessment of the independent review process, the IRP. And this was undertaken by the Cross Community Working Group Accountability Workstream 2. issue 7, which is the assessment of relevant ATRT2 recommendations, recognising that they were made quite some time ago and in an ICANN that was vastly different to the one we were operating in today. And this takes a holistic view of how ATRT2 recommendations were or were not implemented. Issue 8 is the assessment of periodic and organisational reviews dealing with these issues. And as you know, we are asking specific questions about that. Next slide. Thanks, Brenda. Nearly there. Issue 9, which is about the accountability indicators, and we've made ATRT3 comments on accountability indicators in this section. Issue 10, which is the prioritisation and rationalisation of activities, policies and recommendations. And here, as you know, we've asked specific questions seeking input on this area. The next section is the support organisation and accountability and substructures accountability. And here we're looking at the results of our own survey in concern with the questions to this SOAC, to the SOACs on accountability. And then prioritisation and interdependencies of recommendations, which is yet to be determined, will be the next section. And this is per the requirements of the new operating standards for specific reviews. Here we will prioritise our suggestions and our recommendations in the final report. Next slide, thank you. Then we have 3 very significant annexes. In Annex A, the first one, you will find the Accountability and Transparency Review Team number 2, analysis details. Here you'll find our analysis of all the ATRT2 recommendations. In the next section, section B, Annex B, we will see the detailed survey results and analysis, and this is from our own ATRT3 survey. And then section C, the final annex, you'll find the Government Advisory Committee input from ICANN 65 in specific detail. Next slide, thanks, Brenda. And with this, I'm going to hand back to my co-chair, Pat, and we will go through the questions that we've received in chat and then open the floor. Over to you, Pat.
So thank you, Cheryl, very much. So this is Pat. So as Cheryl said, we'll go through the group chat questions, which we have 1 so far. You can put another question in there, or since we still have about 15 minutes, if you'd like to ask a question directly, please raise your hand and I will call upon you once we get through each question. So the first question we've got is from Alfredo Calderon. And the question is, on the budget availability, if the initiative considered is multi-annual, how will the budget be assigned? Will this budget assignment need to be considered annually, or will there be a carryover item in the annual budget? So Alfredo, I don't recall us specifically having a discussion on this particular topic, but I would imagine what we would end up with is there would have to be some kind of project plan that would go across, so we'd have an understanding of what the rate of spend was and the timing of the spend, so you could put that into the budget. Now that would probably be a topic for the recommended team that has the 1-year mandate based upon our recommendation would take that on specifically. But my guess is that you'd have to have a multi-year project plan so you could take a look at what the budgeted cost of the work plan would look like. Thank you. All right, I see no more questions in chat, and I see no raised hands in the participant window. If there are no more questions, I'd like to thank you on behalf of the review team for attending this morning, this evening, this afternoon. And if you have any follow-up questions, feel free to ship them along to us. And we look forward to any comments that you may provide and help us with getting through to our final report. Thank you all very much.